It was the third time in a week that the air conditioning had gone out at the Hospital de Clínicas, and the heat was so heavy that the nurses had taken to holding battery-operated plastic fans over the intensive care patients in an effort to keep them cool. 300 had come in a box, a present from a grateful stroke survivor in the import-export business, one of the few users of the state hospital who still felt dollar-rich enough to give things away. The blue plastic fans, however, had turned out to be almost as reliable as his promises of further drugs and medical equipment. All over the hospital, as the air dripped with the noisy heat of a Buenos Aires summer, you could hear the sudden "hija de puta" of the nurses, even the normally devout ones, as they had to beat them back into life. I didn't notice the heat. I was trembling with my own cool fear, that of a newly qualified midwife who has just been told they will be delivering their first baby. Beatrice, the senior midwife who had overseen my training, announced this with a deceptively casual air and a hard slap on my shoulders as she went off to see whether she could steal any food from the geriatric ward to feed one of her new mothers. "They're in two," she said, gesturing to the delivery room. "Multigravida. Three children already, but this one doesn't want to come out. Can't say I blame it, can you?" She laughed humorlessly and shoved me toward the door. "I'll be back in a few minutes." Then, as she saw me hovering by the door, hearing the muffled wails of pain inside, said, "Go on, Turco. There's only one end it can come out, you know?" I walked into the delivery room, with the sound of the other midwives' laughter still in my ears. I had planned to introduce myself with some authority, to reassure myself as well as my patient, but the woman was kneeling on the floor pushing at her husband's face with a white-knuckled hand and mooing like a cow, so I thought a handshake inappropriate.
"She needs some drugs, please, doctor,"
said the father as best he could through the palm against his chin. His voice, I realised, held the deference with which I addressed my hospital superiors.
"Oh, sweet Jesus, why so long? Why so long?"
She was crying to herself, rocking backward and forward on her haunches. Her T-shirt was drenched with sweat, and her hair, scraped back into a ponytail, was wet enough to reveal pale lines of scalp.
"Our last two came very quickly," he said, stroking her hair. "I don't understand why this one won't come."
I took the notes from the end of the bed. She had been in labour almost 18 hours, a long time for a first baby, let alone a fourth. I fought the urge to shout for Beatrice. Instead, I stared at the notes, attempting to look knowledgeable, and tried mentally to recite my way through medical checklists to the sound of the woman's keening. Downstairs, in the street, someone was playing loud music in their car. The insistent synthesized beat of cumbia. I thought about closing the windows, but the idea of that dark little room becoming even hotter was unbearable.
"Can you help me get her on the bed?"
I asked her husband when I could stare at the notes no longer. When we had hoisted her up, I took her blood pressure and, as she grabbed at my hair, timed her contractions and felt her stomach. Her skin was feverish and slippery. The baby's head was fully engaged. I asked her husband about her previous history and found no clues. I looked at the door and wished for Beatrice.
"Nothing to worry about,"
I said, wiping my face, and hoped that there wasn't.